Now, a Hartlepool man has returned back home after his attempt to climb Everest was stopped following what's been called the single most deadly day on the world's highest peak. 16 Sherpa guides were killed in an avalanche which brought a halt to attempts to climb the mountain. Ella Stewart has spent much of the last decade attempting to raise funds to get to Everest, and he's live with us in the studio this afternoon. Hi, Ellis.
Hi, Neil.
I can't imagine what it must be. It must be mixed emotions in some ways, is it, yeah?
Yeah, it is completely. I mean, it's devastation from a personal point of view. You know, everything I've gone through to get to that stage, and then for it to be completely stripped away in these such unprecedented and tragic circumstances, it does leave a very, very devastating, you know, feeling. But also it's tinged with sadness as to, you know, the sheer loss of life in such an event that's never really happened in such a scale before on Everest. So being there for such a historic, you know, event as it was, it's very bittersweet.
Were you mentally prepared for it as well once you were there?
Absolutely. I mean, it took me 3 weeks to actually reach Everest from a trekking phase. So by the time we'd actually turned up at the mountain, physically, emotionally, you know, mentally, I was pretty much ready to tackle the climb. But then, as I say, we got to within 5 hours of reaching Everest when the bombshell and the news of what had happened reached us.
How did you hear about it? What has happened? And indeed the scale of it, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our porter, who was with us for the entire 3 weeks of the trek, when we got to Lobashir, which is one of the last sort of Sherpa settlements before you reach Everest, he heard on the grapevine there that there'd been an avalanche up on the mountain.
And that's standard as well, isn't it? Avalanches happen all of the time.
Happen all the time. The only difference is obviously people were in the direct firing line in this one. We knew something was up because as soon as we reached Lobashir, the amount of choppers and the amount of activity that was heading up the valley towards the mountain started triggering the alarm bells.
That was unusual, yeah.
It was very unusual. So before we got the news, we knew something was amiss.
What was going through your mind at that time? Did you think, hopefully this is what, an isolated incident and we can crack on with it?
Absolutely. Hopefully it's another tragic incident on Everest, which, you know, it's inevitable that people do, that there are fatalities every year on the mountain. We just thought this is just something else that's happened, which is very unfortunate. It's very sad, but this is Everest. You know, this is what happens on the mountain. But as the stories started to become a little bit more widespread and as we started to hear a little bit more, we became very aware that this was something completely unique and completely different this time and exceptionally tragic.
And when did it dawn on you that actually the chance was lost?
When we finally got to base camp the following day, we were told that there was a 4-day mourning period because of what had happened. It was only becoming apparent then the sheer scale of the loss of life. So for 4 days we laid low, and we assumed that after the 4-day period that life would carry on regardless, that Sherpas would continue on the mountain, that climbers would then be given the option to go back onto the mountain. It was only after this 4-day period where we thought, well, actually this is something else is at play here, and it was then that it became apparent that actually we may not get on the mountain here.
So do you have to actively make a decision about coming home, or is it out of your hands?
The decision was taken out of my hands.
You would have stayed there if you'd have had the chance?
I would have gone with the flow. I would have stayed to see what the general feeling was amongst climbers on the mountain. And the feeling wasn't good. Climbers were leaving on a daily basis. You know, if my team wanted to carry on, if everybody on that side of the mountain, if the general feeling was let's carry on, let's do this, and the Sherpas were happy to do that, I dare say that would have happened, that the expedition and all the teams on the mountain would have carried on climbing, yeah.
And I said in the introduction, nearly 10 years to get the money for this as well.
Yes.
And you even resorted, I remember speaking to you on this programme about you were trading items. Explain what you were doing there.
Oh, the trade-up idea. Yeah, it was just an idea I had at the time. I mean, I looked at various options and various things to do to raise the money. And yeah, as you rightly said, I started trading items to swap for bigger items. And the whole idea was eventually I'd swap to an item which I could have then resold on for the monetary value to then, you know, pay for the expedition. So that was an idea I had at the time, amongst many other madcap ideas I had.
How much does it cost you?
The expedition this year has cost around about 35,000 including the flights and the equipment and obviously the permits and everything that was required for the climb.
And clearly there's no way of recouping any of that money, is there?
No, sadly not. A lot of the money gets spent in advance. So, I mean, the money that we spent out for oxygen, for the Sherpas, for the staff that we had on the mountain, all that has to still get paid out.
There's no insurance, no form of insurance?
I mean, my personal insurance that I do have for the climb, this is a very, very rare, unprecedented event, and unfortunately it's not really termed in any of the insurance policy wording anywhere. So we are looking into it. I mean, as climbers individually, we are all consulting our insurance policy to see if there is anything we can do. But sadly, I feel it's a lost cause.
Ellis, is that the dream over now, or is it a question of standing back and kind of reassessing things maybe in a while?
I think so. I think never say never, Neil. But I think my immediate plans are to spend the next few months with my family and the summer and just, you know, to reassess how I feel about Everest and reassess how I feel about, is it something that I'd possibly want to do one day in the future? At the moment, I could possibly say no from Nepal, from the south side. There is another side of the mountain in Tibet. In the future, maybe one day it might be something I come back to, because the dream is still there.
Poolies would love that. Us Poolies, yeah.
The passion for Everest is not gone. It was tragic what happened, you know, and I sympathise exceptionally with the Sherpas as to what happened here. But Everest is Everest. The mountain's not going anywhere.
Ellis, thank you so much today for coming in. Difficult time for you to share your story. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
No problem, Neil. Thank you.
Ellis Stewart with us live here at BBC Tees this afternoon. We're back tomorrow from 4.